This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally, and it's so effective it works for 9 in 10 people. The Zona Plus is a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 888-408-6141. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, you can get $50 off and free shipping. Just use the coupon code Hoffman at checkout at tryzona.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine podcast. The subject is Lyme disease, and we're talking about an integrative approach to Lyme disease that complements the use of standard therapies, which are only partially efficacious in eradicating symptoms, especially in patients with chronic Lyme disease. Our guest, Darren Ingles, he's got a great new book, The Lyme Solution. And Darren is in clinical practice up in Connecticut, where his practice is comprised of both children and adults, and he uses diet, nutrients, herbs, and immunotherapy to help his patients achieve better health. And you know, just by virtue of geography, you encounter a lot of patients with Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses, and you yourself suffered from Lyme disease, as you described in part one. So you've come up with some very innovative protocols. I think, you know, that's the remarkable part of the book. This is not a book just of generalities, you know, clean up your act, take a couple of vitamins. There's you really provide detail on some of the herbal protocols that people can use to treat the aftermath of Lyme disease when antibiotics are not doing the job.
Absolutely. And what I've found is that, you know, herbs can be highly effective at, you know, either eradicating the organism or at least keeping it at bay. And as we discussed in part one, you know, there's this big question mark about whether we're capable of completely eradicating the organism, because we just don't have the technology to measure the active organism in our bodies. So I like using herbs because I think they certainly encompass a wider breadth of treatment than just antibiotics. Where the antibiotics focus just on killing the organism, herbs can do that as well, but they can also provide a lot of other health benefits to our bodies, including, you know, many of them are anti-inflammatory, they're analgesic, so they can help modulate pain, they help improve circulation, which brings more oxygen and nutrients to the right tissue that's affected. So we see a much broader scope of what herbs can do to the body than just focusing on killing the bug.
And a few of them are, you know, familiar household items, you know, like curcumin from turmeric. And you urge patients to take additional zinc and vitamin D, sort of generic immune support. But some of the herbal protocols are probably pretty unfamiliar to the average listener. So can you describe some of those?
Absolutely. And if you go out there on the internet, you'll find that there are many, many different herbal protocols out there. And a lot of them work well for a lot of people. So I'll talk just briefly about a couple of the major ones that I've used, but just be aware that there are other options out there. And I do discuss in a little bit more detail in the book.
And different strokes for different folks, because not everyone's reaction to the Lyme pathogen is the same. It depends on genetics and, you know, your previous health history, how the disease manifests, right? Because some people may have primarily neurological symptoms, you know, brain fog, depression. Other people may have really severe joint inflammation. Others, you know, may have a whole other constellation, muscle aches and pains and so on.
Right. Right. Yeah. So the treatment protocol is exactly geared towards, you know, potentially what symptoms are most problematic for that individual. And sometimes, you know, we have to mix and match the right combination that's really addressing the totality of everything that they're experiencing. You know, for some people, it's only joint pain and they get no other neurological issues. And for other people, the brain fog is terrible and they, you know, can't remember where they left their keys. So it does need to be addressed a little bit different. But I think that's also the beauty of this, is that it can really be highly tailored to the individual. So there really isn't a one-size-fits-all approach to this. So I think if people understand the concept of what the herbs are trying to accomplish, even amongst yourselves, you can, you know, mix and match the things that's going to help give you the best result. But the two herbal protocols I probably use the most in my practice, you know, when I had Lyme and I, you know, was at the end of my antibiotic rope and just felt miserable, I met a doctor out of New York City, Dr. Zhang. He's a Chinese medical doctor and works as an acupuncturist, but he's developed a series of Chinese herbal formulas that he treated me, and it really pulled me out of the weeds after a relatively short period of time of being on these products. So I've used a lot of his herbs, and again, what I like about them is that, you know, some of the herbs that he uses, and I should say they are Chinese herbs. So in Chinese herbs, you know, they always operate as formulas. In Western medicine, we tend to use single herbs individually. Chinese medicine, they're always mixed. So all of his formulas are really combinations of herbs versus just a single herb.
And they're designed to have a synergistic effect, sort of like a musical symphony as opposed to a solo instrument.
Exactly. But the beauty in that, again, is that each formula is potentially addressing, you know, three or four different issues versus a single issue. So, again, I think it becomes very comprehensive in addressing Lyme disease, which, you know, is a complex medical illness as it is. So, you know, just some of the herbs that he uses, he's got a formula with Artemisia. Artemisia is actually a common weed that grows all over the place, but it has a component called artemisinin that's been very well researched as a very potent antimicrobial, including against Lyme. So that's one of my lead Lyme herbs. There's another herb.
A recent study on Artemisia is very interesting because they try to knock off the curative properties of Artemisia in a drug called artemisinin. It's a purified, highly concentrated form of Artemisia, which they use. It's a standard therapy for malaria, which is very hard to treat. They're very drug resistant, and it's used a lot in Asia. But what they discovered in a recent study, and I presume as an ND you saw that study, and probably you found it very validating for your style of practice, is that just the good old-fashioned herbal formula seemed to be more efficacious against malaria than the synthetic drug extract or concentrate.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned that study. I actually have a colleague who lives out in New Zealand, and his wife contracted malaria while they were traveling abroad, and he was giving her just Artemisia as a tea, and it was helping her tremendously. So, yeah, good old herbal medicine. It doesn't have to get fancy, and it certainly isn't expensive, but you know, it does the job. So, yeah, I mean, this is a very potent herb, very effective antimicrobial. And another formula he has an herb called Hotunia, which we don't really use in Western medicine, but it's highly used in a lot of Chinese herbal formulas.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, it's very effective against Lyme. And so between the Artemisia and the Hotunia, I think they're both very, very effective at helping knock the Lyme down. But he has another formula called Coptis. Coptis is also an immune boosting herb. He's got another formula called Circulation P, where it's a combination. It's based on a very old Chinese medicine formula. It has, I think, 8 or 10 different herbs in it. But its goal is to really help improve circulation. And I hear this a lot from Lyme patients, too, that they feel like their hands are cold, their feet are cold. They almost have like a Raynaud's kind of syndrome. And this definitely helps improve circulation. So it's getting more blood to the right tissues. And then he's got a couple of other formulas, again, that really help upregulate the immune system so that you can fight this infection on your own. But he's got another formula called Pereria. Pereria has been well studied in terms of blood flow. So this is great for the people that have brain fog and, again, can't remember, you know, faces and names and things of that nature. So, you know, there are other formulas that he also has depending on, you know, if there's specific symptoms like neuropathy or joint pain. But that combination, again, has been very successful at helping mitigate a lot of Lyme symptoms.
Just on a little digression, is your background is as a naturopathic physician, and, you know, you study, you know, basic subjects like biochemistry and physiology, you know, just like in medical school. It's a rigorous program. It's, I believe it's a 4-year program, and then there's, you know, an internship and, you know, clinical experience afterward, just like MDs and DOs. But do you actually study herbal medicine and herbal pharmacology in detail? Because it seems like when I talk to NDs, they have a great deal of familiarity with the mode of action of many herbs that most MDs will poo-poo or tell their patients, hey, you know, stay away because herbs are toxic to the liver, blah, blah, blah.
Well, in naturopathic medical school, your first course in botanical medicine is pharmacognosy. And pharmacognosy is the study of the biochemistry of herbs. So this is where you're learning about plant constituents. You're learning about the pharmacology of how a plant is utilized through the liver and the kidneys. So even before you study the herbs itself, you know, you get a very in-depth study on how the properties of herbs are applied to human beings. And then once you understand that, then you start learning about the individual herbs and what they do. So herbs in naturopathic medical school aren't just taught from a sort of energetic, you know, healing modality. You know, we very much get into the biochemistry of the herbs. And of course, in modern technology, you know, we've just learned so much about how these herbs work, why they work. You know, even if an herb has a very long historical use, you know, we have now have a much better understanding about why that herb does what it does. So, yeah, it's very integral into naturopathic medical training.
I want to learn more about some of these herbal protocols for Lyme, but first, let's give one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this message. This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Okay, thanks folks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. Now back to Darren Ingles on his new book, The Lyme Solution. So what are some of the other herbal options for Lyme, chronic Lyme?
So the other protocol that I've used a lot, there's a doctor, he's retired now, but his name's Lee Cowden, and he's a cardiologist by training, and he was practicing in Dallas, Texas. And sort of haphazardly, he had a family member with Lyme that he ended up treating. It was a child, and he ended up doing very, very well. So Dr. Cowden developed this herbal protocol using herbs that mostly come out of South America near the Amazon and Peru. And what's been interesting about his protocol is it's actually been pretty well researched. There's a woman out of the University of New Haven. Her name is Dr. Eva Sappi. And she's been studying the effect of these herbs in vitro. And what she finds is that these herbs are more effective than doxycycline and some of the other antibiotics that we're using. One of the things we've learned about Lyme is that Lyme can actually be a shapeshifter. And what that means, in its normal form, it's sort of this corkscrew-shaped bacteria, but it has the potential to ball itself up into what they call the round body or the cyst form. And when it goes into this form, we think it goes dormant. Mm-hmm. So it hides in the cell, it's hard for the immune system to find it, and therefore difficult to eradicate. So they found, at least in a test tube study, that these herbs were effective at breaking down Lyme when it was in the cyst form. And we know that the antibiotics are not effective when Lyme goes into the cyst form. So often, many of the Lyme doctors out there will use a different combination of antibiotics to try and be more effective when it goes into this cyst or round body form. So I thought it was very interesting that, you know, these herbs are really working better than the antibiotics themselves. So I get questioned all the time when I'm recommending herbs for patients. They said, well, gosh, doc, you know, are you sure this is going to work? And I said, yeah, I mean, we actually, you know, have research to show that it's even more effective than the antibiotics. So even for someone who has an acute tick bite, nowadays, I don't even refer out for antibiotics. I just start them on these herbal regimens and have, you know, full confidence that it's going to get rid of the infection as well or better than the antibiotics.
That's really impressive. What about the phenomenon known as the Herxheimer reaction? Sometimes, and this is tough in managing Lyme patients, when you treat them and they get better, you say, great. And when you treat them and they get worse, you say, great, because either way, you may be hitting the target. How do you navigate that paradox?
Well, the good news is with herbs, having Herx reactions are certainly less than with antibiotics. It's not that they don't happen, but it's far less. And the severity of the Herx reaction does tend to be not as intense. But, you know, some of the ways around it, and a lot of the herbal protocols out there often do have a formula that specifically addresses that. So in the Dr. Zhang protocol, he's got a formula called AI number 3. It's an anti-inflammatory formula. And that, if people start increasing the dose when they get a Herx, it will help blunt that. In Dr. Cowden's protocol, he has a formula called Berber. And Berber, I find, it's a liquid extract. People can take 5 drops every hour when they're Herxing, and often that will start to diminish the effect. And the other thing that's been very effective is good old baking soda. I think it probably has something to do,
kind of.
Yeah, just by alkalizing the body, we're somehow, you know, blunting some of that immune response that's happening during the Herx reaction. So, you know, it's not very tasty, but I've had people take, you know, adults, you know, a half a teaspoon every couple of hours. Sometimes it gives them a bit of loose stool, but in many cases, it will help with some of those die-off reactions.
Yeah, we sometimes use a formula called Trisalts, which is a buffering formula with some potassium and magnesium bicarb, and less of the sodium, because the sodium can cause water retention, and for people with high blood pressure, not great. What about some of the more familiar supplements that our listeners know about? Do they have a role here, things that support energy, enhance immunity in a more direct way?
Well, one of the things that we've discovered about Lyme, too, is that it seems to impair mitochondrial function for a lot of people. And mitochondria are the part of the cell that help really create energy. So often people need extra support in that area. So coenzyme Q10, CoQ10, I use a lot of. And what I find with Lyme patients, often they have to use doses that are generally higher than we use for, you know, cardiovascular disease and other illnesses. So, you know, to use 200, 300, 400, really up to even 1,000 milligrams a day of CoQ10 in some patients is what they need to override that mitochondrial dysfunction. I also use a lot of carnitine, specifically acetyl-L-carnitine. Again, this is another nutrient that's very important for mitochondrial function. I found the acetyl L-carnitine versus just the L-carnitine seems to do a little bit better for the Lyme folk. And again, you know, we'll use, you know, fairly high doses. You know, my feeling with any supplement is always start small and work your way up as tolerated. So, you know, I'm sort of giving you, you know, potentially target doses, but, you know, you may want to start smaller just to make sure you do okay with it and it doesn't give your gut any kind of fits. But the acetyl-L-carnitine we've used up to, you know, again, 600, 800 milligrams to get people to feel a little bit more energy.
What about more aggressive therapies like IV vitamins, IV vitamin C, IV glutathione? And some patients resort to what are called oxidative therapies that are designed to cleanse the blood of pathogens like ozone, ultraviolet, blood irradiation, hydrogen peroxide, people who really are in desperate search of a way to suppress the infection.
I've had a lot of people who've done IV ozone therapy. My feeling with some of those oxidative therapies is in some ways it's a bit like the antibiotics. I mean, you're trying to kill the bug.
Yeah.
But if the fundamental problem is the overactive immune system or autoimmunity, I've seen temporary relief, but not as much sustained relief as I'd like. So I think, again, for someone who might be in the initial stage of the infection, these therapies are highly effective. I'm a big fan of doing IV nutritional therapy just to support, you know, the immune system and gut repair. I love IV glutathione and phosphatidylcholine. I think these therapies can be very nutritive to the nervous system. So for people with brain fog and neuropathy, these can be very, very effective if you've got a practitioner in an area that can do these therapies.
And so let's look at some of the more prosaic aspects of treatment, you know, lifestyle, sleep, exercise, stress reduction. You speak to those issues, too, because they're part of a healing path for patients. Detoxification as well, like, you know, cleaning up your home environment and so on.
Yeah, and these are some very basic things that people can do at home. They don't cost you anything. You know, just starting by cleaning up your home environment and getting all of the potentially toxic chemicals out of the house is it's just a function of, you know, buying different products at the store. But for people who already have a damaged immune system, as you will, anything we can do to make the environment less toxic has a potential upside in how your body, you know, detoxifies and has to clear things. You know, basically, the less junk we have to put through the body, the better chance your body has to recover. So, you know, we always recommend that people, you know, eat organic when possible to eliminate the pesticides and herbicides, you know, get rid of, you know, the Windex and Tylex and all these, you know, harsh cleaning chemicals that have other chemicals that can affect them, to use more natural products. But sleep is the one thing that I think is one of the biggest problems that I see with Lyme patients. And often they'll tell me, look, I used to sleep well, but after I got infected, my sleep is terrible. I wake up exhausted. So this is one of the biggest hurdles, I think, in getting people over the Lyme hump, is really getting them that good, deep, restorative sleep. And, you know, there's many natural ways and even some pharmaceutical ways sometimes to make that happen. But I think people need to be very cognizant of, you know, what their quality of sleep is, because that's when your body really gets a chance to repair itself, restore itself, heal, detoxify. You know, all that really good stuff happens when you're in that deep restorative sleep. So if we're missing that, you know, we need to find ways to make that sleep quality better for you.
And then exercise, but not too rigorous exercise, because perhaps that may cause additional stress.
Well, a lot of people physically, you know, whether it's joint pain or muscle aches, there's a physical limitation sometimes to what they're capable of doing. Many people with Lyme suffer from chronic fatigue, so just having the energy. So my feeling is any movement you can get is good. And I find, you know, gentle exercises, even for people who are generally tired and achy, they can do them. But the benefit of it is that you're getting better blood flow, you're getting better oxygenation. I mean, I know for myself, I mean, I hate yoga with the passion of a thousand suns. But when I do it, I feel fantastic.
I recently shared that reflection with some people in a blog for our newsletter, is that I initially dreaded it, but I recognize that I really need to play to my weak suit, because as a triathlete, you know, I can bang out the mileage, but in terms of flexibility, that was something that really was a chink in my armor.
Right, and I think for a lot of Lyme people, you know, one of the things they complain about is, you know, this general spasticity in their muscles. Everything just feels tight. And yoga is exceptionally good at improving your flexibility, getting your blood going. But I also like yoga because you can adapt it really to any fitness level. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, me as a beginner with, you know, very poor flexibility, I mean, I was still able to do it. And, you know, after an hour of going through some very basic modified poses, I mean, I noticed the improvement immediately. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now having done it a little bit more, it gets easier, it gets better. But I do find for improving your fitness level, that's a very easy thing to do. And I'm also a big fan of Tai Chi. Again, I think Tai Chi is a very gentle, I mean, they call it, you know, meditation in motion. You know, you're constantly moving, but it's very slow. It's very low impact on your joints. So I think, you know, it's I like to find things that I think are realistic for people to do based on, you know, their energy level, their fitness level, and just access. And, you know, Tai Chi, I mean, a lot of community centers offer Tai Chi classes, the YMCA. And once you learn the basics, I mean, it's something you can even practice at home. So, again, these are things that are very low cost and accessible to people. But you do see the benefit of how it affects both your physical being and your mental being.
Indeed. And finally, you know, one of the obstacles to recovery from Lyme disease, and it's a big topic in integrative approaches to Lyme, is biofilms. Can you briefly comment on that, and you know, what are some of the potential solutions?
Yeah, you know, we all have the experience of biofilm. You know, you wake up in the morning and you got that gunky, crusty stuff on your teeth. That's biofilm. You know, biofilm is a natural product of most bacteria in your body. It's its natural defense from the rest of the body from getting rid of it. It just so happens that Lyme is exceptionally good at making biofilm. So yeah, I kind of think of it like, you know, it's like a walnut. It's got this very hard shell, but you want the nut on the inside. So you got to crack that shell to get to the nut. And biofilms the same way, is that we have to crack that shell to really get at the organism. So that allows your immune system, and if you're using herbs or antibiotics, it gives it a better opportunity to actually get to the organism to get rid of it. So the best way to help get rid of biofilm is really through various enzymes that have been shown to sort of crack that shell. So we use different types of enzymes. Serrapeptase is one. Sometimes we use natokinase, and sometimes we use one called lumbrokinase. They all have slightly different effectiveness, and of course they have a different price point. So, but any of them can really be effective at help breaking down biofilm.
And there are other products. Sometimes EDTA is used as well in a product that combines some of these enzymes. Actually, the name doesn't pop into my mind right now, but you list it in your book.
The product is Interphase Plus.
That
contains EDTA and has some of these enzymes. There's also good evidence that lactoferrin can be very effective at breaking down biofilm.
Nah.
An amino acid, N-acetylcysteine, mm-hmm. yeah. The precursor to glutathione that can break down biofilm. So, you know, in many cases, we're using one of the enzymes in combination with one of these other nutrients to help break down biofilm. Again, it kind of just depends on the individual. But I think it's important that if you're undergoing any type of active Lyme treatment, that it's concomitant with a biofilm protocol so that you have a best chance of, you know, getting rid of this bug.
Maybe some D-xylose as well from, you know, some of the products that you can take internally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, great. So, unfortunately, that's all the time we have. But, boy, you can really do a very comprehensive overview of the subject of Lyme disease, from methods of prevention to controversies about diagnosis to a critique of the way that we currently treat it, and then some really practical solutions, supplements that you can take, herbal formulas that work, and an overall lifestyle approach that supports recovery. That's all in the Lyme Solution, which I think is one of the best summaries so far of an integrative approach to Lyme. So great work. Congratulations. You know, clearly you're knowledgeable and a gifted communicator. And what's our Intelligent Medicine take-home message for today? Where can people find more information?
Well, if they'd like, they can follow me at DarrenIngallsND.com. And here we have a blog, we have a newsletter, we've got lots of information about the upcoming book. And if people are just looking for diet tips, things to help, you know, get them over their Lyme disease, please, you know, sign up for our newsletter or visit our website. And we just have a lot of good information we want to share with you.
Incidentally, you have a practice located in Connecticut. Tell us about that.
So I have a practice in Fairfield, Connecticut, Ingalls Family Health, and I also have a practice actually in Irvine, California, which is Wellness Integrative Naturopathic Center. So I'm bi-coastal and have practices in both locations.
You do get around. Okay, well, thank you so much, Darren Ingalls, for joining us, and congratulations. And the book is out soon, so I guess you can reserve a copy at the usual sites on Amazon and so on.
Yes, the book is actually going to be released. Right now we're scheduled for April of next year, so we have but if you sign up for our newsletter, we will send out announcement as soon as it becomes available for pre-order.
Great. Yeah, sign up for a pre-order on that book. It's really worthwhile, and we wanted to get the word out because it's an important contribution. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks, Ron, and thanks for having me.
My pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.